Joining me on the program today is Tom Kinert, Iowa State University Extension Family Consumer Science.
I am a food and health specialist.
There we go. He is.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
He's been our guest before. We've talked with him about, well, we could talk to you about a lot of other things. Food safety in particular is a big thing you get to help with. You make it available. And folks, when he talks food safety, he's for all the restaurants, things like that.
Yeah, I teach food safety classes and nutrition classes in a 10-county area for Iowa State Extension, and really glad to be doing this.
All right. So we have Thanksgiving coming up, so I invited Tom to come and say, how can we put together a very cost-effective, full Thanksgiving meal and do it safely?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm definitely going to suggest, if you are looking for some recipes, to check out the Iowa State Extension Iowa State University Extension and Outreach's Spend Smart, Eat Smart app. It's an app. It's a website. We have lots of great recipes, lots of great information. And so if you're looking for some sides that maybe you haven't done before, or maybe trying a new dessert that maybe is a little bit more health conscious, maybe you're making healthier choices this year than you have in previous years. What's great about Spend Smart, Eat Smart's recipes is that they are low cost, easy to make, low salt. And so if you are somebody who's having to watch your sodium intake, this is a great place to start if you're looking for recipes.
You know, when I was looking, I kind of glanced at it because I knew you were going to talk about Spend Smart, Eat
Smart. Always, always.
But it's not something that's just been manufactured, posted online, or put available. I mean, this is constantly being updated. You have people that are constantly updating things, putting in new material, new information.
Yeah, we have a really great team that utilizes recipes that are approved by the USDA and their nutritional guidelines. What's nice about these recipes is, again, they're easy to make, they're low sodium, very nutritious and delicious and easy to make, and very lightly spiced. So if you're somebody who, you know, wants to try a chili, but maybe your grandma's chili is a little too much, these chilies or all these soups or all these side dishes, they're fairly lightly spiced. And so if you want to spice them up, you certainly can, but it gives you a nice basic place to start and spice them up your own way.
I think one of the last ones I saw was how to stuff a potato or stuff a potato.
Ooh, I do love that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of different things available there. So let's talk first, because the big thing for a lot of people is price of groceries, crazy.
Certainly.
It's been up there. And again, one of the great things out of the programs or the information that's available through Extension is being cost effective. How to do it cost effectively, get the most bang for your buck.
Definitely. So on the Spend Smart, Eat Smart website and app, we have lots of information on smart shopping, some tools that you can use. A big thing is just having a plan, taking a look at what you have on hand, what needs to get used up, making a plan for how to use up those and kind of plan ahead, plan ahead on what you want to eat, and then make a list of the things that you need at the grocery store. When you have an organized list and you go to the grocery store, you're going to make better choices and you're going to spend less money when you're a little bit more focused on what's important.
I think one of the things I noted in there too, and you've mentioned it a couple of times here, lower sodium. That's one of the things when you do home cooking, you have control over that.
Correct.
And that's one of the things, it turns out to be, in many cases, very easy to be more healthful.
For sure. Absolutely. And sodium intake is definitely something that a lot of folks have to watch. Americans tend to blow past our requirements necessary, and we go too salty, too sugary. Obviously, it's the holidays. You want to live it up a little bit. But just being aware of the salt and the sugar that is in our diet can make a difference to our health. And what better time than trying a couple new recipes at the holiday season?
So Tom is one of those that's not afraid to try other things.
For sure.
And other recipes. So he's done a lot of these anyway. But obviously the big thing for Thanksgiving, turkey.
For sure.
A lot of people looking at reasonable priced, I think, for many. Some do, you know, if you buy so much of this, you get a free turkey. And that turkey's still the mainstay for many of us.
It's Thanksgiving. It's all about the turkey.
Yeah. So what are some of the things they should consider? How big? How much? Do you need organic, non-organic? What are some of the things that people can look at?
Sure. First off, you can get either whole turkeys or you can just get the turkey breasts. Let's say that you're, one or two people living at home. You don't need the entire, 18-pound turkey. Maybe just consider getting one of the turkey breasts. So that will not have any of the leg, any of the dark meat, but it's going to be a little bit easier to handle. Additionally, I feel like turkey is a very reasonably priced protein. And so if you are willing to invest the time to cook maybe a little bit more than you need and then freeze the rest, it actually is a pretty good way of saving money. Mm-hmm. I mean, the price per pound, it's hard to beat. Obviously, dealing with an entire turkey is a little bit of a process. But even if you do have a household of one or two people, if you get the whole turkey, but you plan on cooking the whole turkey and then grabbing that extra meat that you don't need, putting into a freezer bag, popping that in the freezer for later, you can use this opportunity to kind of make a larger amount than maybe you need right now. But having things like cooked, diced up turkey in your freezer could make it real easy to make a soup one day.
Sure.
You're making kind of like a chicken noodle soup. You make a turkey noodle soup or a wild rice soup with and just having that protein ready to go would be super, super cinchy.
Big thing is plan what you can do,
yes.
What you're thinking about down the road, what you might be wanting to do.
When it comes to the turkey, you want to make sure that you're thawing your turkey safely as well.
Mm-hmm.
So frozen turkeys should not be thawed on the counter or in hot water. The best way to thaw is in the refrigerator. This allows safe thawing. Plan for about 24 hours for every 5 pounds of turkey. Also, you can thaw turkey in a cold water bath. So you're going to keep the turkey in its original packaging to avoid that cross-contamination. You can put it in your sink and maybe put the big turkey into a stock pot and fill that stock pot full of water.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to allow that for too long, but that will speed up that thawing process quite a bit.
Okay. But big thing, if you can, and make room in the refrigerator.
Yes.
Or even if you have access to a second one, get it in there. Let it sit in there and thaw. Should they be turning it over? Should they be moving it much, or just let it sit there?
I certainly would put a pan underneath it to catch any juices that come out. If you use that cold water bath, it will thaw out much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely it can take up quite a bit of space in your fridge, which again, if you are somebody who doesn't have as much space or doesn't have those needs, grabbing one of those turkey breasts would be a lot easier than getting the whole turkey.
Baking the turkey, I mean, health-wise, because I know you guys look at this, health-wise, baking a turkey, roasting it, better than frying.
I mean, I've had fried turkey, and it's delicious. I'm not going to say that it's not delicious.
Oh, yeah.
But no question that you can have a really delicious, nice, and juicy turkey. If you get the turkey, thaw it out properly. Do not rinse your turkey. I know that that was something they told people to do back in the 90s. The federal government says do not do this, but we all know that old habits die hard. But you do not need to wash your poultry. It's going to more likely than anything contaminate things in your kitchen. So don't rinse your poultry. Just open up the package, let it drain, pat it dry. And then season it, maybe put a light amount of olive oil on the outside. But you don't really need to fry a turkey to get a nice, juicy, delicious turkey.
I know people do different things too, whether it's whether they're going to roast it or do they put it in a bag? Do they not put it in a bag?
Mm-hmm.
And again, those are just, I would guess, personal preferences.
For sure. Some people use bags. I don't personally. Also, if you're looking to, let's say you have a very small oven, another thing you can do is just kind of split your turkey in half, half-half, and kind of lay it down with the bones on the bottom of the pan. So if you are somebody who, let's say, I need to get this turkey going, and I'm running a little bit late. If you, what's called spatchcocking, which is when you kind of split it in half and kind of lay it out, it will cook faster, cook more evenly. That works perfectly well. It doesn't have to remain as a whole bird just to cook it.
Don't thaw it on the countertop.
Do not thaw it on the countertop. Make sure. So the best choice is to plan ahead and put it in your fridge. Next best option is to use a cold water bath. If you have a small turkey, you can thaw it in a microwave. But if you're going to use a microwave, make sure that you immediately turn around and cook it after that thawing process.
Yeah. Once it starts.
Yes. Yeah. If you're using a microwave, microwaves have hot spots and cold spots. And so for food safety, they recommend if you're going to use that as a thawing method, you got to turn around and just take it to its final cook temperature of 165.
Okay, I was just going to ask you that. 165. Yep. Do you use the pop-up thing they put into them, or should you have a meat thermometer?
I think a pop-up is a good place to start, but I would definitely get a meat thermometer. You're going to test it in a couple different places, in the three thickest places on the turkey. So the thickest part of the breast, the innermost part of the thigh, and the innermost part of the wing. Those are the places that tend to stay the most rare. And so you want to make sure that you're temping that in multiple places. Minimum of 165, but if you're somebody like, I'll be honest, my wife, she's somebody who likes her meat a little bit more well done than 165. Okay. And so, and especially when you got like a big, nice, juicy turkey with the bone on, if you take it to 175 or 180, it still should be quite tender and delicious.
It's not going to be that. And plan your baking time, your roasting time.
Correct.
So make sure because you've got other things you're going to be doing.
Yep.
After you clean your countertop and everything else, because you've been handling raw meat there.
No question.
So what are some of the other things? Because I know you suggest sometimes, say, everybody does the green bean thing, the green bean casserole or scallop corn and things like that. But are there some other things? Dressing, that's another one that people should pay attention to.
When it comes to,
do you stuff the bird?
Exactly. Stuffing versus dressing. I mean, it's more or less the same thing. The USDA recommends not stuffing your bird. There's a higher chance of cross-contamination. When you stuff the bird, it takes longer for the bird to roast. So a lot of times, more or less, you have that bread kind of hanging out in undercooked turkey juice. So you can stuff a turkey, but the USDA recommends it's better to cook it on the side as a quote-unquote dressing.
Yeah. Okay. So things like that. Pay attention to what you're doing.
Correct.
What's the difference between a sweet potato and a yam?
They are actually different. I think that yams, like garnet yams, are sweeter. So sweet potatoes are delicious. And I'm going to be honest, I don't know why everyone puts marshmallows on them. I think they're delicious without marshmallows. But yams tend to be a little bit on the sweeter side. So they're kind of a darker color, very, very sweet and delicious. I love roasted yams at the holidays. When I do them, I just toss them with a little bit of butter, salt, and a teeny bit of brown sugar and let that roast. We have lots of healthy recipes such as the spicy sweet potatoes and lots of other sweet potato recipes on our Spend Smart, Eat Smart recipes. So go ahead and pop over there. We have lots of opportunities to try something you haven't tried before.
So the big thing, when they're getting ready, obviously, you got to plan when everybody's going to be there to get served. Mm-hmm. So we get the turkey. Do you back? I would back time my turkey roasting to be done probably half hour, 45 minutes before you're planning to eat.
It's going
to
be a lot. The problem that a lot of people have sometimes, like even people do it with a steak. Like, you know, you take a steak off the grill, somebody immediately slices into it and you lose all that delicious juice. So you definitely would want to cook your turkey, plan ahead. It might take longer than you think. Roast your turkey and then allow it to rest for a while before you slice into it.
Okay.
There's something magical that happens when you let a piece of meat rest for a little bit. When you're done cooking it, the juices kind of rearrange within the meat, and it really does work. I worked in kitchens a long time, and I've seen plenty of people slice into a pork roast or a chicken or any number of thing too quickly, and you lose all that juice, and you can't get it back in the same way.
Yeah, it does not go back in. Once it runs out on your plate, there it is.
That's, so,
other sides, are there some other options, alternatives that you think you can think of that they might be interested in?
Absolutely. So the My Plate recommendations from USDA is that half of your plate should be fruits and vegetables. So I know that this time of year, I mean, I'll be honest, like I'm noticing it in myself. When it starts getting cold, I start grabbing those comfort carbs. I start reaching much more for those, I made like a potato soup, cheese soup the other day. Like it's definitely starting to get closer to that time. The recommendation I would have is potatoes technically are a vegetable, but they're also kind of a starch. So I wouldn't really count that particularly as a vegetable. It meets some of the requirements of a vegetable, but definitely trying to get a diversity of color on your plate. What makes a green bean green is different than what makes a blueberry blue. Yeah. Every different fruit and vegetable has a different color, and that kind of relates to what nutrition's in there. And so the more color you have on your plate, the more diversity of nutrients you have. And also, I'll be honest, it just tastes better. When everything's the same color and everything's the same texture and everything is light brown on light brown on light brown, it's not that interesting. And so I really suggest maybe trying roasted broccoli with a little squeeze of lemon on there, something to brighten up. A lot of times we tend to pick very starchy, very salty, very brown things at the holiday season. And so the reason why that, like, you know, that cranberry relish is so good is because your mouth is kind of wanting something to offset all of that, you know, fatty, salty, brown starchiness. It wants something to kind of cut through that. So there's definitely a lot of opportunities on our Spend Smart, Eat Smart to try any number of things. So trying things like roasted cauliflower. So I would say, like, broccoli and cauliflower are a good example. I grew up, my dad used to kind of oversteam them, and I didn't really care for them.
They were mushy
and kind of farty and not that good. Turns out, if you take cauliflower or broccoli and or zucchini and you toss it with some salt and pepper and some olive oil and then roast them, making sure to give them lots of space and not so they're not kind of steaming each other. Don't make a big pile, kind of spread them out. It gets such color, such texture, such flavor to it. And like something like broccoli, like I like the taste of it so much more. It doesn't taste quite as cabbagey. And so even if you have a bad attitude about cauliflower, even if you have a bad attitude about particular vegetables, maybe try them in a way that you haven't tried before, because maybe it's just the way that your grandma made it that you did. Turns out you didn't like it.
Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts is a perfect example. I grew up having them steamed, and I thought they were kind of farty and gross. But if you roast them with any number, I mean, roasted with a little bit of bacon and some apples, it's so delicious. They have such a good flavor and such a sweetness to Brussels sprouts that, again, it's all about how you prepare it.
I'm seeing a lot of that, Sean, at our house. Because, you know, things that we didn't... to me, I always liked beets. I always liked Brussels sprouts. Yeah. I always liked, you know, I did. And asparagus and things like that. But there are still a lot of varieties and at a pretty decent price at the store, too.
Absolutely.
You get those. Before we run out of time, there's so much more. A lot of these, again, recipes, things like that, again, go online because if you have time or get an app, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is, Spend Smart, Eat Smart is a website, but it's also an app in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. The last thing I'm going to say is plan ahead. And so a lot of times what I've seen at various family gatherings is all the food goes out, people go get their plates, they go start watching some football, they wander off and do some stuff, and all of that high-risk food is just sitting out at room temperature for hours and hours and hours, and then eventually, oh, maybe we should put that in the fridge, and then you're trying to figure out the 18th use for some turkey, and let's be honest, by day three after... You're tired of turkey. You're tired of some of these things. And so something like a turkey, let's say half your turkey got eaten during when people got their plates. Plan ahead, go into the fridge, like before, don't just put the whole bird into the fridge.
Yeah.
Take it off the bone, chop them up, put them in a Ziploc, label it, put it in your freezer. Plan ahead so that way you're not looking at that turkey day after day and you're sick of it. Plan ahead on those. You only want to leave those high temperature, those dangerous foods out for 2 hours.
Okay. So make some limits on that. I was going to say some of the other things too. We didn't even talk desserts or anything like that.
Oh, for sure.
But the big thing is plan accordingly.
Yep.
Again, you don't want to leave them sitting out too long because that's always, again, not good for if you're going to try them down the road later. Do people have a tendency, just because it is the holiday,
Over
preparing? getting too
Absolutely.
Much over?
Oh, that's it's as American as apple pie, us making way too much food. So trying to come up with some of those ways to reimagine some of your leftovers. And again, also just planning ahead and just freezing some. Yeah. Okay, you have a whole bunch of green bean casserole.
Sure.
Put it up into some individual containers, label them, put them in the freezer. Because you're not going to want to see green bean casserole for 7 days in a row.
So, but I will say that we are going to have another program that'll be coming up. We're going to talk about what you do with these things when you put them in there. But if you are going to be freezing those, do have a plan when you might be using them, because they do have a certain amount of life after being put in the freezer.
Yeah, so putting things in the freezer does kill off some bacteria, but it doesn't kill everything. So if you left your turkey out for 12 hours and then you say, oh, I'm going to pop it in the freezer, it could be definitely possibly growing some bacteria on there that freezing is not going to kill. So that's why you should only leave those high-risk foods out in the temperature danger zone for 2 hours, plan ahead, get them in the fridge, get them in the freezer. Don't forget about them.
So much about planning for Thanksgiving. There we go.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Tom Kinert, our guest on our program today. Thanks for visiting with us.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.